Hello and welcome to Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. On this show, I'll be interviewing organizations located in and associated with Magnuson Park to learn more about who they are, what they do, and how you can get involved. My guests today are Jan Bragg and Samantha De Abreu from the Magnuson Park Advisory Committee. Jan and Samantha, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Well, if you could start us off letting us know what your role is with the Magnuson Park Advisory Committee and how you got started there.
I can go first. My name is Samantha, and I'm the current co-chair of MPAC along with Jan. I actually joined the committee back in probably 2020 or 2021 after the big heat wave that came through Seattle. I was doing some community organizing and trying to support the people that are living in my building, which is Mercy Magnuson. And I ended up connecting with Lorna Murray and Diana Kincaid, who was a former chair of MPAC at the time. And they kind of connected me in here so that I could get more involved in local advocacy. And it's been a really great opportunity.
And Jan?
Well, I've been involved in the park for many years. Samantha doesn't know this part, but I am a volunteer for what was formerly Seattle Audubon Society. And I started a bird survey in Magnuson Park in 1994. And as part of that, I got involved with what was then called Friends of Magnuson Park because we were protesting having an off-leash area in the park. We wanted to preserve the natural area of the park. And through that, I got involved with Magnuson Environmental Stewardship Alliance, which plants native plants in the park. And those people knew that I was doing, that I was a birder, that I was doing the bird surveys. One of the people I was doing the bird surveys with was Herb Curl, the late Herb Curl. Let's see, what happened after that? Oh, Friends of Magnuson Park got very involved in protesting having sports fields in the park. So that would have been in the early 2000s. Sometime after that, Magnuson Park Advisory Committee was formed, and Herb Curl was the representative for Seattle Audubon Society. And in 2016, I think he stepped down, and he had been trying to get me to take his seat for a while. And then Tom Kelly, who was president of Magnuson Environmental Stewardship Alliance, kept pressuring me until in 2017, I became a member, accepted. So I replaced Herb Curl. I took his seat. And I'm currently co-chair with Samantha.
All right. So both of you coming from kind of that connection to organizations located in the park. And we actually just had Tom Kelly on to speak about the Magnuson Environmental Stewardship Alliance. So some connection there as well. Then with the Magnuson Park Advisory Committee, what can you tell us about what the committee does and some of its history?
I'll let you tackle that one, okay, Jan, since you know more about the history.
Let me just say really quickly, what we do is we're an advisory committee, and specifically we advise the superintendent of Seattle Parks and Recreation. That's our job, is to advise the superintendent about Magnuson Park specifically. In terms of the history, I don't know. I'm going to have to refer you to Ben Bertos in Seattle Parks and Rec, but I think it was formed around 2009, and our understanding is that there were so many stakeholders in the area who wanted different pieces of the park. Everybody was going separately to the Parks Department saying, this is what we need at Magnuson Park, or I want that at Magnuson Park. And at that time, it was decided that there would be a committee representing different stakeholders to advise the superintendent.
So we have the advisory committee here in Magnuson Park. Are there other advisory committees with other parks, or?
Apparently there are not, from our understanding, which makes us special.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. All right, very
cool. We're the
only
advisory committee for a park.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think the reason behind that also has to do with the fact that this was formerly Navy land. And so there are a lot of historical buildings and other things in the park that, are less common in some of the area parks here. So there are just a lot more community considerations.
Got it. So a very unique position for Magnuson Park. And you've mentioned Seattle Parks and Recreation a couple times. What is their role within the advisory committee?
They advise us. Not really. No, the manager of Magnuson Park sits in on all of our meetings and he does give us advice. If we say, can we do this or can we do that? He'll say, your role is to make recommendations to the superintendent. And if you feel this is important, then you should make the recommendation. And he also is he's the go-between. He tells us what's going on in Seattle Parks and Rec. He gives us updates.
Yeah, I think they're acting as a formal liaison for us. And they also help us keep the minutes and keep the website up to date and everything. So help us keep track of everything. And then they also report issues back to staff or other members of parks as needed.
So with the advisory committee, how many members are there that are part of the actual committee?
Currently, we have 10 members. And I wrote a list. I wrote down a list of all the possible members we could have. But essentially, to give an overview, we have representatives for the residents here, for the tenants, meaning the business tenants who have contracts with the Parks Department and are lodged in buildings here. And then we have representatives from the community. So do you want to hear a list of the specific members? Not the names, but
sure,
the seats?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in terms of the residents, there's a representative for Solid Ground Housing, for Mercy Housing, for the Low Income
Housing Institute.
Housing Institute, thank you, at the Sandpoint Cottages, brand new. And then we have one member who represents the management, and that currently is a solid ground management representative. Then we have business tenants such as UW, University of Washington, not really a business tenant, they're a property owner. I guess that's a separate category, property owner. And as I should say, Mercy, Solid Ground, and Lehigh are all property owners here, mm-hmm. not on city grounds. But in terms of the business tenants that are on parks grounds, we currently have an artist representative because there's artists in Building 30. Sail Sand Point had a representative. Sports Fields have had a representative, had one for many years. The Mountaineers had a representative. Boyer Clinic had a representative. Yeah, moving now away from business tenants, but to organizations, the Magnuson Environmental Stewardship Alliance has a representative. Friends of Magnuson Park, which is an organization interested in preserving the historical buildings, they have a representative. North Seattle Community Council has a representative. I represent the environment.
We also have a representative from Sandpoint Elementary PTA. So basically what we're looking at is a combination of the business tenants here, some of the organizations and nonprofits in the park, residents that are living in the park, and then some of the neighbors in the nearby neighborhoods. So we really try to get a good subsample from the area to represent all the interests that occur here in the park.
Got it. And you said there are about 10 members currently. Is there a minimum or maximum that the committee can have?
So our slate has to be officially approved by the superintendent and brought through Brian Judd, who's the Magnuson Park manager. And we are currently in the process right now of updating our membership, but Brian was on a special duty assignment, so he's going to be coming back and then approving the new selections that we have. We generally, I think, have about 10 members or so. We have the same number of seats approximately, but there have been some changes over the years depending on the needs of the organization of parks and as well as MPAC itself at the time.
If all the seats were filled, though, we would have 17 members.
17. Okay. And you've mentioned members coming from the tenants, the organizations, residents. who all can join the committee and what does that process look like?
I would say actually that if you're interested, that it would be really great to get in touch with Brian Judd or Ben Burtzos and just see if there is potentially a representative spot that you could fill, because we are looking for a new membership. I think, you know, again, it really just depends. Usually people would be associated with some kind of organization or, you know, again, like a resident of the park or associated with the neighborhood councils. So generally, it would be someone that is representing a more unified interest. But we would be very open to hearing people who are interested in joining MPAC at this time. That would be great.
Let me give a slightly different slant, because your question implies maybe to some listeners that it's an organization that you join. And it isn't quite like that, at least in my mind. It's more that there is a set slate of who Parks wants to have represented. Mm-hmm. And then they look to fill those specific seats, if that makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody does kind of fit into one of those unified roles, those unified voices, and they are potentially interested in joining the committee in that role, what would a typical meeting look like?
Well, in addition, Benjamin, to the wild parties that we have, we usually have a set agenda. So we have introductions around the table, and then we usually have some initial announcements. So the public is actually welcome to come and share announcements, provided that they submit them to Ben Burtzos ahead of time. So we share information amongst ourselves about potentially things that are happening within the park. We actually found out about Space FM, or at least I did. I'm sure Jan knew about it previously from Gabrielle Gerhard, who she mentioned that you guys occupy this space over here. And so sometimes they will let us know if there are art galleries happening, different things like that. And then we usually have a manager's report. So Brian, or it has been Joanne or Suchi for a couple months, will provide us with some updates about progress related to MPAC's goals at the current moment. And we also have information and updates coming from Kim LeMay, who works at the community center. So we get some information now that the community center is open on programming and how things are going over there. And sometimes we have guest speakers. Brian's been really good at helping bring people in from different parks divisions to speak on various topics that we're currently working on at the moment, or also organizations that are having events in the park, which has been really interesting and fun. And that way we can share that with our stakeholders. And then Jan and I usually talk at some point about the current objectives that we're working on, progress on that. And then we wrap up. So that is a very concise summary, I think.
Okay. And since these meetings are open to the public, how would somebody find out when a meeting is going to occur and how they can join the meeting?
We always meet the second Wednesday of every month, except usually August we take off. And we meet from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. And you would have to go to the Mangson Park website, and within that click on Mangson Park Advisory Committee to find the agenda and to find the phone number for Ben and how to get on a list if you want to make a public comment.
I believe they could also physically come in person, right? So they'd so you would need to contact contact Ben if you actually wanted to sit in the boardroom. We do a hybrid meeting. So we actually, most of us these days attend virtually, which started during COVID. And the meeting link for that is on the meeting agenda. And then some members still opt to meet in person. And so if you're interested in that, then that would just be over at the Parks building, which is right off of the hangar, right, Jan?
Building 30.
Yes, building 30. I don't know the numbers of any of the buildings. This is why I need you.
All right. So for folks who are interested in joining those meetings as part of the public, make sure to check out the Magnuson Park page at seattle.gov. And if you're just joining us, this is Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren, speaking with Jan Bragg and Samantha DeAbreu from the Magnuson Park Advisory Committee. So Jan and Samantha, how does the committee engage with the local community, whether that's gathering feedback or providing the community a voice? You've talked about community members being able to kind of provide those public comments. How else does the committee engage with the community?
Well, each of us have constituents. We each represent our constituents. So we are bringing to the committee the priorities, concerns, happy things from our constituents. Let me just clarify about public comment. Public comment is at the very beginning of the meeting, and then after that, it's not a public comment period at all. It gets closed off to public comment, and then it's just members discussing whatever is on the agenda.
And then the community involvement within Magnuson Park. You've talked about kind of hearing from folks about upcoming events. How else does the Magnuson Park Advisory Committee kind of get involved with engaging the community in what's going on in Magnuson Park?
So I would say that, we're not necessarily a volunteer organization since we're, in more of that advisory capacity. But I can say that, as Jan was saying, most of us work with our constituents to try to get the word out. So I actually help cooperate a Facebook group for the Mercy Magnuson residents, and I've hosted some community meetings previously where I've let people know, some of the goings on in the park as I learn them at the meetings, and gather feedback and provide that back to the committee itself. We also are working with parks to try to find some solutions that will help people learn more about the events and the different business tenants and organizations and things like that that are here in the park, because there are so many cool organizations operating out of here. And a lot of them, even though I've lived here since 2018, I only learned about this past year. And that's kind of wild. So, I'm just hoping that we can try to find a solution. And part of that is kind of trying to help parks come up with those ideas and adapt. Because right now, we don't really have a very large online presence or any other method of getting out communication. So it's a work in progress, I'd say.
Well, that's one of the reasons why this show was created, is because, like you said, there are so many incredible organizations located right here in the park. And then the park is also bringing in so many different events that are open and usually free to the community. So getting the word out about those with all those different stakeholders and moving pieces can be very challenging. So having the advisory committee, having, exploring Magnuson Park and working on those sorts of ways to get the community involved is really commendable work, because there's just so much going on here in the park. With the advisory committee, are there any current projects or programs that you are focusing on right now or advising or working on Seattle Parks and Rec on?
Yes, that is our sole function, to do exactly that. Is what we decided to, what Samantha and I decided a year or so ago, was with the approval of the committee, was to follow the three pillars of Seattle Parks and Rec, which used to be healthy people, healthy environment, healthy community. Now they've changed the wording slightly. It's still healthy people, vibrant community, something other than healthy environment, but very close to that. And what we've done is chosen two areas, two priorities for each of those three pillars to work on.
And we actually were able to tackle several of those projects during 2023, so we were pretty proud of ourselves. Jan worked really hard to get crosswalks painted on the part of 74th Street that belongs to parks, because we do have that multi-jurisdictional situation here in the park where, part of the streets here are actually SDOT property. because it's right of way for the buses and things like 62nd Street and the first or in the initial part of 74th Street when you're coming in the gatehouse entrance. And so we did get crosswalks down there. We're still working to get some crosswalks up here by you, Benjamin. So we're hoping to get some crosswalks by Center for Pediatric Dentistry up here. And we also worked on lighting. I did a lighting survey, and there were 21 lights out as of last September along 62nd Street, as well as parts of 65th Street and 74th Street. And it took almost a year, or actually over a year, I think, and contacting many, many city employees from different departments. But they did recently fix most of the lights, and they were able to get the power grid back on. And that was a huge accomplishment for us. So that
was all under healthy people, which we kind of moved into safe people. So those were the things we were working under, safe people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is really impressive work, sounds like, with how much you had to go through to get that going. And certainly very beneficial to the community with how much foot traffic there is through here with the residences, with the events that are going on, hugely beneficial, it sounds like. And you've mentioned these kind of key components, these key areas that you are focusing on for the advisory committee as a whole. What is the overall mission or vision for the committee? And how do you think that the committee contributes to that through the meetings and through these sorts of collaborations or advising the Seattle Parks Department?
Yeah, I think we've taken a really targeted action-oriented approach because previously there was a period of time where when I initially came into more of a leadership role where it was a little bit, we didn't really have as much direction. And so we would have a lot of discussions and we felt like things weren't getting done. And so Jan and I sat down and figured out, like, how are we actually going to accomplish things? Like, let's just actually get this group of people together and get things done. And so I think that, you know, our overall mission is really just to improve the park for all of those, you know, different stakeholders that use the park, including animals and wildlife, so that, you know, we have a holistic ecosystem here and happy park users, happy residents, happy business tenants and organizations. So I think that's our overall goal. And yeah, we actually write directly to the superintendent after voting on certain propositions, and we usually do receive feedback, and we have had a lot of success and a really good relationship so far with the current superintendent, so it's been great.
Correct. I just want to add that because we're an advisory committee, the superintendent does listen to our recommendations, and we have been pleased by the responses that we've gotten. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good, especially with an advisory role, to have that strong relationship. And Samantha, I'm glad you mentioned the kind of environmental impact that the advisory committee can have on the park, because it's not just about the people, as you mentioned, it's about the wildlife, it's about the vegetation, it's about those ecosystems that thrive within the park. So I appreciate you mentioning that as well. Now, you've talked about different stakeholders, different organizations that might have spots on the committee. Outside of the spots on the committee and some of those guest speakers that you might bring in, are there other ways that the Magnuson Park Advisory Committee kind of collaborates with organizations located in the park?
I would say maybe informally and more as our roles as constituent members. For example, Jan and I noticed that there was an owl box that had fallen. And so we, you know, worked together and contacted Parks through Find It, Fix It to get that tackled, you know, and that wasn't necessarily like part of the impact. I mean, it's related to, but it wasn't something that was like unnecessarily voted upon or anything. And then similarly, they're working on re-envisioning the playground, the junior league playground that's down in Magnuson Park, the big central playground. And myself and my daughter attended that basically community engagement session. And so I encouraged my constituents to come down as well and provide their input. So we really try to help and support not just parks, but other organizations as well. Those are just like some of the examples that come to mind, and try to, you know, really form those relationships as we can. So Brian Judd, honestly, so I think that is one of the big roles of Seattle Parks that you're asking about earlier. That's actually one of the main things that they really actually do on our behalf, which has been great. And so when we were talking about our priorities earlier this year, Brian asked if it would be helpful for him to bring in people that were associated with the different organizations that we had goals surrounding. And we said yes. And so he's been bringing in people from different parks departments, but also, for example, if there are people who are hosting events in the park, sometimes the events committee will talk to Brian and then Brian will have them come present at our meetings. So that has been something that's been a little bit more parks facilitated, I think.
One thing that was the major activity of the committee before Samantha came on board was occupants, tenants for the buildings, because the outside organizations want to be tenants within the buildings in the park, and they come to parks and submit proposals. Will they also come to the committee to submit the proposal to the committee? And then Parks asks us, what do you think of this proposal?
And right now, Parks has been going through an RFP with a consultant looking at different management models for the park. So that's a process that Parks has undertaken. And I have currently been representing MPAC on the RFP committee. And so that's another way that MPAC has like more directly plugged into another process. Yeah, we also, like occasionally we've gone to other related committees and meetings and things like that. Like I've attended the Parks Board Committee before in favor of the Park Rangers program, because that's something that we're really hoping could potentially be expanded to Magnuson Park if it's successful downtown.
All right. So a lot going on with with other organizations, with the park departments in and around Magnuson Park in the Seattle area. So as we're wrapping up here, are there any final thoughts that you would like to leave our listeners about the work that Magnuson Park Advisory Committee is doing?
I wanted to put in a plug for the community center, which is starting up an advisory council just for the community center.
Okay.
And if people are interested in that, they should contact Kim
LeMay
at the community center. Thank you. And then once they form that council, one of those members will become a member on Magnuson Park Advisory Committee. One thing I wanted to mention is public benefits. This is something I think when the Parks Department first had tenants moving into some of the buildings, they didn't think to include a lot of public benefits in that contract. And over time, they've realized since this is public property, people who are tenants here need to offer public benefits. For example, if they're having a sports program, they need to give scholarships to people who can't afford to participate otherwise. Each of the tenants now in their contract, the tennis center, for example, one of the public benefits is they have restrooms there, which are open to the public during business hours. So that is a public benefit, which is written into their contract. And I think this is something that Magnuson Park Advisory Committee was instrumental in helping the parks to see that they needed to do this. And that was before our time. Now it's in the system and they're doing it.
I just have to say that I am really grateful to be involved with so many awesome people who are really making a difference in Seattle. It's been a pleasure serving with Jan. I could not survive without Jan as my co-chair. And so, yeah, it's just been a really great experience, and I appreciate you having us here today, Benjamin.
All right. Well, certainly thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate learning more about the Magnuson Park Advisory Committee. And I have one final question for you. If the Magnuson Park Advisory Committee had a theme song, what do you think it would be?
So I spent a really long time thinking about this and sending Jan some funny clips. And what we ended up deciding on is there is a show tunes type theme called Teamwork by Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. So that's something you will have to pull up yourself.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today, letting our listeners know more about the Magnuson Park Advisory Committee. Jan and Samantha, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When two guys pull together, it's teamwork. In foul or sunny weather, it's teamwork. What does it take to make any business climb? You'll find it takes teamwork every time. Incidentally, your jokes will kill the yokels. It's teamwork. I love your hokey vocals. It's teamwork. Like Fred Astaire and Ginger and
twice as sleek, we'll give them that teamwork.
Cheek to cheek, here we are, just like in Zanzibar.
Still nothing, still a star.
That's quite a stab from old Flag. They always pay us plenty for teamwork. We split it 80-20, that's teamwork.
Yours is tax-free.
When others start to part and go off the beam. Like Siamese brothers, like Siamese brothers, like Siamese brothers, we'll be on each other's team.
Fuss about the billing, it's teamwork.
The smallest type is thrilling, it's teamwork. Although we hold each other in low esteem, we're loaded with teamwork.
Hey now,
what's life without team?
Go boy,
unless you got teamwork, there's no team.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Magnuson Park. My guests today were Jan Bragg and Samantha Day Abreu from Magnuson Park Advisory Committee, which provides a forum for interested community members to be involved in the planning and development of Magnuson Park and the Sandpoint Historic District, and advises the Seattle Department of Parks and Recreation on the stewardship and operations of the park. You can find more information about the Advisory Committee by searching for Magnuson Park on seattle.gov. Some upcoming events happening in Magnuson Park. Club Northwest has their Winter Breeze Run on Saturday, February 10th at 10 a.m. This is a great event to do with a friend, family member, or Valentine, so come on down to Magnuson Park and get your run or walk on. Check out magnusonseries.org for more information and to get your tickets in advance. The Lunar New Year Celebration Night Market will also be taking place on Saturday, February 10th from 4 to 10 p.m. at Hangar 30. This event will showcase 125 local merchants and food trucks and features an illuminated maker's market as part of the Year of the Dragon celebration. This event is only for individuals 21 and older. Check out 206nightmarkets.com for more information and to get your tickets in advance. A special thank you to everyone who contributes to Space 101.1 FM. It's your donations that make this show and all of our programs possible. If you'd like to contribute, want to learn more about the station, are looking for a schedule of our programs, or would like to listen online, visit space101fm.org. Stay with us for more amazing programs coming up today, and don't forget to tune in again next Thursday at 2 p.m. for more Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren, broadcasting from Space 101.1 FM, the coolest radio station in the galaxy. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you at Magnuson Park. Walking.